So that is Catholic Church unity. That's a big church. But there's still parish unity because we still have a particular family here with a special mission. We say in our parish mission, in our parish vision, we're called to be saints. And we want to be really upfront about that. Now, I know not everyone will agree with this vision. I know. We can't win everyone to this particular church. But the reason why we're so upfront about it is because if people know, oh, they're really aiming high, that's why we have to give 10% of our money to those in need. That's why we can't rush our Sunday Mass, because we want to grow in love. And if we rush our Sunday Mass, we're going to undercut our growth. If we're going to be united as a parish family, it's really important that we get behind this vision. If we don't support the vision, then what do you have? Division. You have division. You have two visions. This vision is not perfect. It can change in the future. But for now, it's going to give us focus. The vision also says that we're called to proclaim Jesus in every circumstance. And I know I've talked a lot about evangelization, and that's really calling us out of our comfort zones. And I know that because, you know, for me, I never used to talk so much about evangelization until my heart was converted in this regard about 2 years ago. St. Paul says something really interesting today. He says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. Scripture scholars all agree St. Paul is not minimizing the importance of baptism. He knows baptism is important, but he's saying, my primary mission is to proclaim. And a lot of us Catholics for decades have been told, all you have to do is be holy. All you have to do is be a good person, and that's enough to evangelize. And that's actually incorrect. That's the most important. Most important is to live a holy life. But we also have to proclaim. And not in a way that's pushy, never be pushy, but in a way that's really loving and that is natural to each of us. This is what Jesus asks of us. A few people, I said, do not feel we should be using Alpha. Why? Because it was made by the Anglican Church, and there are some theological errors in it, and they are right. And I'm so happy that some people here are really concerned about this. That's good. We should be concerned about this. There are some theological errors, but most of it agrees with Catholic teaching. Most of Alpha, the vast majority of it agrees with Catholic teaching. And if there were a better evangelization tool out there, I would use it. But why do we use it if there are some errors in it? And the answer is because the things that Alpha gets right, it gets really right. Its presentation on Jesus, that he is God, on the Bible, its presentation on the Holy Spirit is amazing. It is one of a kind. And that is why Alpha has done so much good. It's led to thousands of conversions to the church, and it's helped thousands of people come alive in their faith. St. Basil the Great asked an interesting question in the 4th century. He was writing an address for young students of his, and he said, should my young students read non-Christian writings when there is an error in these writings instead of reading the Bible and the saints? So what's your answer to this question? Should St. Basil the Great's young students be reading books that have error in them? He says yes. He says this, it is incumbent upon us to trace the silhouette of virtue in the pagan authors. We need to see the virtue in the pagan authors. So he wants his young students to read Virgil and Cicero and Pythagoras and all those Greek writers. Why? There's error in them. St. Basil the Great doesn't say you accept everything equally. He's not saying that, because you're on a search for truth. You always have to look for the truth. But what he's saying is, we have to be, as Catholics, we're always looking for truth, even when it's outside the Catholic Church, even when it's outside Christian circles. Every seminary in the world asks the students, when they're training priests, to read Aristotle. Even the most traditional seminary gets the students to read Aristotle. Pagan philosopher, Greek philosopher, didn't know Christ, has error in it. Why? Because the stuff that Aristotle's right about, he is amazing. That's also why Pope Benedict studies Protestant works, and he quotes them because there's truth in it. And that's also why we should use Alpha. I'll give you an example of one of the errors in Alpha. When Alpha explains, how do you know that the Bible is inspired by God, that it's God's word? How do you know that? Nikki Gumbel, the great presenter in Alpha, what he says, and he admits he oversimplifies it, but his explanation is this. He says, the Bible claims to be God's word, it seems to be God's word, and it proves to be God's word. That's actually not persuasive. There's actually a better explanation for that, and this is how Catholics do it. Catholics say, Jesus is God. He founded the Catholic Church, and historically, it was the Catholic Church that decided what books go in the Bible, and the Catholic Church determined which ones are inspired and which ones are not. That's more persuasive. It's also more historically accurate. That said, none of the errors of Alpha will ever lead us into sin. And we can tolerate them the same way we tolerate the errors of Aristotle. And then we can correct them later in faith studies and other formation programs. Last point. Our parish right now is being divided by the large group of young people in our church who are not encountering Jesus, they are not being discipled well by us, and they are leaving Jesus. That's dividing our parish. I didn't think I was going to talk about this today. I had to add this in for the homily because I wanted to actually wait to talk about this. I wanted to talk about this in a few months. But 9 months ago, I started seeing God is telling us to focus more on young people. And a lot of you started telling me, Father Justin, you have to start focusing on the youth in our parish. So I asked the 138 people in our intercessory prayer ministry, I said, can you do something? Can you pray for guidance? Do we need to hire a youth minister full time? And 2 weeks after I asked them to pray, I get my answer, we have to do this. So I want to let you all know, soon we're going to be hiring a full-time youth and young adult minister. I'm going to ask you in a few months, would you support this financially? Would you support this sacrificially? And this is going to be part of the bigger parish's growth. We have to go. We've got to grow. And we have to hire other people too. Some of the needs are very visible, like a young adult youth minister. Others are very hidden, but we still need this. So I just want to let you know this is what's coming and we've got to go. Everything that we do has to lead to Christ. It has to lead to Him who is truth and has to help Him help us love like Him. In the past, I remember being very bothered by Catholics who had the three visible bonds of communion, but I felt they didn't have the love. And one of these examples were, I found there would be some Catholics who were very pro-life, good, but they didn't love the poor. I didn't get that. And so I remember I expressed this frustration to a brother in New York, Brother Juniper, and I said, I don't get that. It bothers me. And he said, look at us Franciscans. We live with the poor. We live really simple lives. But we're 100% pro-life because we know that abortion kills the most people statistically in the whole world. And when I saw Brother Juniper have the three bonds of communion, follow the church's teaching, but he lived it with grace, and those other Franciscans, I said, that's what I want to be like. And that's what we're all called to be like. If we seek the truth and live it with love, if we have the three bonds of communion, one faith, one worship, one governance, then we're going to be united to Christ and to each other.